He is Jalen Rose. I am Dave Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
We have Angela Rye joining us on the show later today, but we start in the NFL, where there seemed to be a coordinated Twitter attack against the league from the league superstar. Superstar after superstar tweeted about the lack of certainty about the health and safety protocols as they head into training camp. Jalen, this is a huge concern for the NFL, so much so that they have set a meeting for today, where they are now behind closed doors trying to finalize the policy with the NFLPA. What do you think is going to happen next?
It's not a business, man. It's a business, man. And basically what we're seeing the employees, in this case, the NFL players do, is acknowledge to its corporation or bosses, we're ready, willing, and able to come to work and or accept our paying check for doing our work. However, where our work isn't giving me suitable conditions that make me feel comfortable to choose between my health or my well-being. So now, NFL, your move. The players are acknowledging that they're willing to play, but you're not giving them conditions that make them comfortable. So therefore, still give me my check and eliminate these preseason games that are unnecessary, and let's get right to the good part.
Well, I think when you compare what the NBA has done to what the NFL has done, it's really night and day. The NBA set up a bubble environment. They reduced the number of teams, reduced the number of games. Obviously, they had half a season done so they could do so. But the NFL is just such a different type of sport. The cities are spread so far apart. The teams are so big. It takes so many people just to get an NFL game done that there's inherent dangers. And many of the teams are right in the hot zones where COVID-19 is tearing through communities. This is going to be a truncated season, a stop and start season. There's going to be positive test after positive test. And one of the things that the players are asking for is to be tested every day, and they are not even getting that. This is going to be a huge problem to keep an eye on when the players report to camp. But one thing we like to keep an eye on, a gentleman by the name of Patrick Mahomes. Where Mahomes?
Where Mahomes? Where they at? Where they at?
And one thing I love about Patrick Mahomes is just the flair that he brings to the quarterback position. And take a look at this video. Behind the back, wall dropping back on a dime. There's like a wide receiver screen. Now, Jalen, could be unnecessary, but do you think he will actually pull this off in a game?
So I got a controversial take, Jacoby.
Oh,
by the way, okay. I don't think he'll try that in the game, because if the ball doesn't get towards the line of scrimmage, it's going to be a scoop and score for the defense. That right there has been great footage that we've run time and time again. And I remember being on Get Up arguing that Patrick Mahomes was going to be a superstar when somebody ranked him one of the lower five quarterbacks in the whole NFL. But this behind-the-back pass with a football is overrated. It's overrated.
Oh.
You give me a football.
Oh, I disagree.
You give me a basketball. You know I could do that.
I disagree.
You know I could do that.
Oh, I was on the beach doing that yesterday.
I feel like I could do something. And I know I'm not special. I guess I assume that whatever the person did wasn't special either. That's easy, dog.
Well, it's what he does in the game, though. Because you take a look at some of the flair that he's brought with the left-handed pass and the no-look passes.
I'm talking about that.
That is not that hard. That what you just saw, I was doing on the beach yesterday with pretty good accuracy, and I'm just a 42-year-old washed-up dude. Like, let's be honest. But I would love to see him do it in a game. I would love to see him do it in a game.
So we're going to see this time and time again on every network. But that's easy. That's easy right there. Not a no-look pass he did in the game. That's something I could never do. But that right there, you and I know I could do that.
Absolutely. Jalen, you have a vote for the MVP of the NBA, and we've learned over the weekend that the final eight games in the regular season will not be taken into account when it comes to voting for these awards. I have the King LeBron James as the clear MVP. You have Giannis Antetokounmpo. What do you think you will do when the ballot comes to your inbox?
Frank Vogel came out and said it recently about each of these guys, in particular LeBron, being the MVP because nobody affects winning the way he does. So for Jacoby, basketball pickup expert, let me tell you something as an NBA fan. LeBron James and Giannis, if you wanted to compare the two and talk about affecting winning. LeBron James is second on his team in points. He's second on his team probably in rebounds, right? Second or third in points, second or third in steals and blocks. The point is Giannis is first in all of those categories on this team. And LeBron is first in the West. Giannis, first overall in the league. And for NBA to think that we're going to watch the last eight games and not take them into account for our awards, what if one of those guys goes out and averages 50 and the other guys only plays two games and load manages six times? You don't think that's going to be in the back of people's minds? Of course it is.
Aren't you going to be forced to vote before those eight games start, Jalen? Or do you just not have these details because you don't read your emails?
Well, I read my emails, and as soon as they send the ballot, I'll vote. I have not been sent the ballot with a deadline on it. So I don't care who it is in the industry, they ain't voted either.
I always like that day because you get a little stressed out that you're going to like mess up the tech and not get it in on time. You always get a little stressed out. You always get a little stressed out that day of the year.
You got to do all defense. You got to do it. I take it serious, man. It's these guys' livelihood, man. It's these guys' livelihood. I gotta take that serious.
Well, take it serious because LeBron James himself said today that he's the MVP, and I believe he's the MVP. Moving on. Carmelo Anthony has gotten down to 230 pounds during the quarantine. I might go up to 230 pounds during the quarantine, but that's another story for another day. But he says it is the thinnest that he has been since he was a young man in the league. You love the Trailblazers as a sort of dark horse puncher's chance threat in the West. What do you think about Melo's conditioning and the Blazers' shot and making some noise in Orlando?
One of the greatest compliments you can pay a seasoned future Hall of Fame vet like Carmelo Anthony right now is to call him Skinny Melo. Because usually for basketball players, especially when they retire, as you know, enter Kangaroo Jalen, basketball players get heavier when they retire. Football players get smaller because they're not filling themselves with testosterone and whatever they have to take in order to get them ready on Sunday, Mondays, and Thursdays. For Carmelo Anthony and the Blazers, first they got to get the A spot. Let's not overlook Ja Morant, who did a terrific job of cementing his team four or so games into that eighth spot. But if the Blazers and Dame Dollar are able to get in, I just want to remind people of something. Last year in the playoffs, Dame Dollar shot the basketball from 30-plus feet and eliminated the Oklahoma City Thunder and broke up Russell Westbrook and Paul George to the point one is in Houston, one is with the Clippers, and OKC is outplaying expectations because of that shot right there. Our guy, friend of the program, Dame Dollar. So if they get in, we know he can be a problem.
He can be a problem. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Angela Rye right here on Jalen and Jacoby. Stay tuned.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Part of Happy Hour.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, who do we have the honor of having on the show today?
We graduated David Jacoby because Angela Rye is joining the show today. Mm. And she represents the pulse of the culture with her intellect and the way she dissects everything that's happening in the world of pop culture and entertainment. And I love that hoodie. Welcome to the program. We've been trying to get the Harriet Tubman 20s put in circulation forever. What do you think happened to them?
Well, Donald Trump happened to him, and so did his administration under the leadership of the Secretary of the Treasury, that is Steve Mnuchin. They decided to delay this. And so my friend Mina Harris, who also runs the Phenomenal Campaign, came up with Harriet Tubman being on our T-shirts and maybe some of us to just get the stamp and stab her face all over Andrew Jackson.
Well, that is awesome. This weekend, we lost an all-time icon, a great in Mr. John Lewis, who did so much for the civil rights movement. Can you talk about his impact in his life and legacy?
Well, I first want to just say I'm just so thankful for Mr. Lewis and who he represented to me personally. I was the Congressional Black Caucus Executive Director and General Counsel, and had the great privilege of not only working with Mr. Lewis and his team. He has a phenomenal, phenomenal team who I know he's looking down from heaven and is so proud of. But he isn't just a civil rights hero to so many of us who walked across a bridge and risked his life for us to vote. He is also and was also an amazing human being. Every single week, the Congressional Black Caucus holds a lunch. And Mr. Lewis, and it's a lunch meeting, and Mr. Lewis would come to those meetings late so that he could just eat lunch with the staff. And I will dearly, dearly miss him. Another one of my favorite memories of him. And I just think it's important to bring the humanity back to the hero. So I'll also tell you this, we held a jobs fair initiative while I was the Congressional Black Caucus ED with the phenomenal team, Latrice, Brandon and Stephanie, under the chairmanship of Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver. We went to 5 cities. One of those cities was Atlanta. And the response was so large, you guys, because Black folks were not working. I mean, double the national unemployment always, but these numbers were remarkably high. And we went to Atlanta, held this job fair, lines literally wrapped around the block. People's cars were backed up on the highway. And Mr. Lewis was like, "They need water. It's hot outside." He grabs this case of water and he's going out to hand water out to these folks. And that's him. He was always serving, whether it was public service, doing a sit-in on the House floor, or was ensuring people who were in the hot sun just waiting in line for a job could get a drink of water. That was Mr. Lewis. So he's dearly missed. And I'm so grateful I had the opportunity to work with him.
Angela, we are on the verge of the beginning of the NBA season. The teams are down in Orlando in the bubble. And there's been a lot of discussion about how players from the bubble can use that platform to continue the fight against social injustice. What advice would you have for them?
Well, first, I just want to shout out my very good friend, Chris Paul, who, of course, is the Players Association president, who is not forgetting the important role they have, not only with bully pulpits, what they say and press, what they're wearing on their attire. I know they have a partnership that they've just announced with Russell Westbrook, where they're intending to ensure there's, you know, all types of social justice messaging and framing on their clothing items. I know that Black Lives Matter will be on the court. We're not going to lose sight of what's important to us. And I know the players won't. When you look at the demographics of the league, right, this is something that they can't separate themselves from. There are players who have been stopped and harassed and have had violent incidents with police officers. This is not lost upon them. And so I want to just applaud them for the work they're doing while they're going forth and playing. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but if they are going to play, I at least want them to do it that way. So I commend them for that. And I hope that they won't just put Black Lives Matter on the court. They will ensure that our lives matter, our economics matter, and that the demographics of the league's leadership matters, and that the players continue to hold the league's feet to the fire around that. All of those things are important. Don't just do this for a marketing moment for what's trending. Make sure that your practices change as well. And I have every bit of confidence that the players will do the right thing.
I'm actually glad you went there, because you talked about basically leaning towards them not playing. I was one person that made the argument that now NBA players are so very powerful that if they decided not to play, they would create more of a platform than actually playing. Do you feel like them playing and in some of their voices becomes a distraction to the movement of social justice, because now we're going to be talking about their statistics and now about their equality?
Well, Jalen, this is honestly, it has been a hot topic. And what I will tell you is I really do see both sides now. Just for example, the news and what's being covered on cable news, nightly local news, a lot of that coverage has shifted already, right? So at first I was like, you're going to take attention away from what's being covered on the news. The reality of it is there's a new COVID spike. So our social justice issues and our survival hasn't been front and center anyway, unfortunately, over the last week or so. What I think is imperative is that they find a way, just like we have to in our work, right, to integrate key talking points to ensure that they are pushing for societal change, both internally and externally. At some point, we have to make that change and that switch. At some point, we have to evolve into a more robust conversation, not just about police reform, but what it's going to take for Black people to really thrive in this country. So it's going to happen anyway. I was definitely on your side, like, no, don't go play. But now I think the reality of it is at some point that's going to change. And who knows, like, given what's happening with COVID, they may find themselves in a situation where they can't anyway. So the question will become, how do we keep our issues front and center in the face of another pandemic, which is COVID, also hitting us just as hard, actually harder.
It's a good point. Now, we turn our attention to the WNBA, which is also in Florida, about to start their season. And Atlanta Dream team owner and Senator Kelly Loeffler spoke out against the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, if you were a player on that team, called your phone, what advice would you give them about how they should proceed with their season?
First, I would continue to demand that she sells her shares to that team. She does not deserve to be an owner in the WNBA. She does not deserve to have a seat at the table where more than 68% of the players are Black. How dare she blaspheme this movement? How dare she use her platform, both as a senator and as someone in leadership in the WNBA as an owner, to speak ill of the Black Lives Matter movement? We are out here trying to survive, right? And for my friends, Opal, Patrice, and Alicia, who have risked their lives with this movement by creating it, who are threatened every single day, how dare she? That's what I would say. And I would continue to tell the women, not just on that team, but the players on other teams, to push for her to be removed. She actually does not represent the values of the WNBA. She is ill-informed about Black Lives Matter, and I require that people in leadership have more information than the layperson, right? She should know what she's talking about before she opens her mouth. And perhaps if she focused on her own personal ethics, she was just under ethics investigation in the Senate for potentially an insider trading deal. They dropped those charges, but maybe if she paid more attention to her own business, she wouldn't be in ours meddling and blaspheming what this movement is really about.
As I mentioned at the top of this show, as I mentioned when you first joined us, your Harriet Tubman hoodie is fly. There was a gentleman yesterday speaking into a microphone that gave new definition to the sunken place. And he had the nerve to even invoke her name, which is blasphemous. What is going on with Kanye West?
Child, I don't know. Like, I the truth is, I really don't know. It's traumatizing. It really is really sad to see Jalen. Kanye has traditionally been one of my favorite MCs. And I like his song will come on and I'll just turn it now. I just can't. And I think that my biggest frustration is I don't know if he knows how harmful he's being to the culture right now. I don't even know if he's making that connection. And so part of me, like the heart part of me feels like, broken for him. Like, what happened to you and how can we get this right? The other part of me feels like, how can we ensure that we use what's happening with Kanye West to inform people, especially in our community, who avoid mental health and talking about it like the plague? How can we use this to say, if you're not well and you go out and try to lead other people, you're going to put other people in harm's way? And I think that he has to understand that with the price of greatness comes responsibility. And if you're not well, sit down, really. You know, like, you have to sit down somewhere and get a hold of whatever's going on in your mind. I think that, you know, people can support whomever they want politically. I never understood why he was supporting Trump, but I was worried then. You know, and I think that the truth of the matter is there are some things that are, you know, going on inside of him, an inherent conflict, an internal conflict that he really needs to wrestle with a mental health professional. And I'm not a mental health professional, but I'm concerned greatly about his mental health.
Angela, thank you so much for joining and giving your perspective. When we come back, a coach in the NBA thinks the next super team will be developed in Orlando, and I'm not talking about the Magic. We'll explain right after this. Stay tuned. It's Jalen and Jacoby. You got to give the people time.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit, part of Happy Hour.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, an NBA coach, is prophesizing that everyone being together in this tight community in Orlando, in the bubble, will lead to some little tampering situation that will lead to the next NBA super team. Do you think this could be true?
All-star level players, yes. All NBA caliber players, probably. But MVP level players, I don't believe so. Because those guys, Giannis, Luka, Dame Dollar, that come to mind, Jason Tatum, I don't see them leaving their current situation. The Lakers already have a duo, so do Houston, so do the Clippers, and so do the Sixers. And so I probably see a couple of guys joining, but not necessarily with the connotation of the word super team.
Jalen, you and I have discussed the NBA barbershop situation, and now we have the very first images of that exact NBA barbershop. Number one, it should have been built earlier, I feel like. And number two, it looks small. So it's not like every player is going to be able to fly in their own barber. I think it's going to be just probably a handful of barbers that take care of everybody, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I don't think it's going to, since it's in a bubble, it's not going to have the same connotation that it does in the neighborhood where the barber shop is a hub for different ages and groups of people to kind of congregate and learn about the community and the culture. But I'm glad the NBA is doing so.
And Jalen, it was Stuart Scott's birthday yesterday. You wanted to make sure to send a message to him today.
Rest in peace, Stuart Scott. We talked a lot about Jalen and Jacoby, this program right here. And you continue to encourage me. And you said that we'd be on ESPN one day. Rest in peace, my brother, as we sign off on ESPN today.
And we will be back on ESPN tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Highly Questionable is up next. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is exclusive content with our guests. And we have some right now with Angela Rye. Before you came on, Jalen said, I'm such a great talent scout. He's just having her on this show. She is the future. We're going to look back on this in 20 years and say, I can't believe we had Angela Rye on the show. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming on, Angela.
That is so nice. I will say, as a fan of the Fab Five, which we did not get to talk about today, that means a lot. And Jalen, I tried to get you on this BET special once, but your schedule wouldn't permit. So I'm glad that I could be on with you all. It is one of my favorite ESPN shows. And this has just been a joy. I wish we could have had a little more banter. I appreciated that NBA moment because it's been a tough pull to get me to, like, all right, y'all can play.
Correct. And I definitely appreciate the show. And crazy, 2002 BET Mad Sports was the first time I covered the NBA Finals. The first time. And this would be my 19th or 20th consecutive year. I pitched them the idea. They believed in me. And then I got hired by Best Damn Sports Show. And then I started working for ESPN. So there isn't a person that's more plugged into you, to pop culture, sports, and entertainment. And I have to put you, and I'm going to give you a chance to think about this one, on a red table. What's going on with that entanglement situation? I know I don't want you to get too personal and get yourself in trouble, because you looking at your phone is like me with the NBA. We only can say a percentage of what we really know, right? So what are your thoughts on the Will and Jada situation for public consumption?
I think that there is a conversation they had at the red table about it. and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I will also say, on the August side, I feel like this is money motivated. I feel like, you know, maybe he was really hurt about some different sets of expectations, whether we go into relationships, work, school. If our expectations aren't aligned with whomever we're dealing with, you know what I mean? You are bound to get disappointed. Somebody's going to get disappointed. So that type of communication, no matter what, is very important. The reason why I say it's money motivated is because he had an album drop, and then right after Jada said entanglements, there's an entanglement song. So I feel like, you know, he's slightly money motivated. And I think the good news sitting here as a Black woman is it's so good for the world to see in this moment that you can't just put, oh, they going after the money on sisters anymore. So shout out to August for that. At least he's tearing down stereotypes.
Oh, he's a Black Kevin Federline, huh?
He needs some healing too. We talked about Mr. Hull. He needs healing too, so I hope he gets healed. But I do appreciate him breaking down stereotypes.
I can't believe you just called him the Black Kevin Federline. All I know is I didn't know his name before this all started. That's all I know. And now I do. Angela, ooh, we've all adjusted our lives.
Shade, Jacoby. That's a little shade. I didn't even know.
I'm just saying. Bro. It's a fact. It was a fact. I'm like, well, it's not shade. I'm just telling the facts. Did you fact check that? Did I know his name before this? No. Now I do. Those are just facts. We're all having to deal with you know, changing our lives during the quarantine. Literally during the television segment, my daughter crawled through the room to go use the bathroom over here and then crawled back through. And I was just yelling at her without making any noise. So how has this quarantine experience been challenging for you, and how has it been good for you?
Ooh, wow. So first, it's such a shift. One of my favorite things to do, you guys, is I speak a lot. So I go to colleges and I have like this connection time with students. And my favorite time is after I speak, actually, where I get to answer some of their questions. And that human connection time has really been missing. So some of my favorite moments, our firm and my personal branding side has 70 interns. Every single semester we get like 400 or 500 applications. I don't know why these young folks want to come work with us, but I'm so grateful. And we really run it like this professional training program, so they learn the skills that they say they want to work in. So we put them on the phone with professionals and some of the activists who I'm close to, so they can really learn from all these folks. And so I like live for the opportunity to have those calls and talk with them. And then the other day I did like a Q&A with the CBC Foundation interns, and it was about 30 of them on the call. So those times mean so much to me. The other thing is, it's not over, but doesn't it kind of push you into really thinking about what matters? Like every day you wake up and you're like, I can breathe and I have my full lung capacity for all the people who don't anymore. I can sit outside and look at a beautiful sunset in view. I can still pay my bills. Like I'm good. And so you're just grounded with like, I miss my mom and dad. I've never gone this long without seeing them, and to not see them and to not go home. Like I love my parents so much. Like I can't wait to see them and spend time with them. My godsons, I miss my godsons and playing with them. And over this quarantine period, I've spent a lot more time with my boyfriend. We've been quarantined together, and his dog, I was not a dog person, and now I love the dog. So it's like all these random things that happen. My best friend the other day was like, I can't believe you're like talking to a dog. I was like, me neither, girl. Me neither.
Your leadership and your discipline is a perfect example of blooming where you planted. As somebody that's followed your career for a really long time, can you just share, and like you just did, about how you have interns, how you are able to mobilize so many young people and put them on a path to chase their goals? Can you inspire and or encourage those men or women that feel like, after this social unrest, how can I give back? How can I now take the movement to the next step?
You know, Jalen, that's such a good question. I was just, I was talking to Will the other day, Will Smith, and I was telling him, I call him Willie Llama. Like, he's the combination of Ratchet and Buddha. And so I call him Willie Llama. That's the running joke. But like,
that's a good one.
I was telling him, I said, you know, I have come into the full knowledge of the truth that I don't know.
Like, yes.
I don't know anything. And so I think that the reward in this moment is like, it's okay for us to not know. I think it's not okay to stay with not knowing. Meaning, there's something that I realized that I want more information on. I want to figure out how I can give back in some way. Right now, I don't know. Now, what is my approach going to be to ensure I figure that out? With our intern program, I keep knocking this table and the camera jumps, but the intern program, what we found is like some of the ways that we initially set it up didn't work. you know, I felt a gap and so did they, and a void when we didn't connect. That connection is really important. Not only do I instruct them and give them people for them to speak with and to learn from, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot from them. That is the best focus group and polling I've ever done. Like, they're like, nah, that's whack. That's not as cool as you think it is. You know, like, it's incredible. And I think the other part is we make it seem like activism is a science. And I think it's an art because it is heartfelt. It is about what is moving people and speaking to the heart of their why, right? And so it's like, how do we get everybody on the same page? First, we have to just acknowledge like truth and what it is. And my truth may be different from yours. How do we bridge that gap? And so I think that if we encourage people to try, even if it means with the try you fail, at least you took a step. And I think the most important thing for people to get right now is taking that step. I was about to say, Jalen, did you just crawl to the bathroom too?
That was Jacoby. He never listened to me. You see, he be getting up, daughter crawling on the floor. We've been doing this 10 years. He don't pay attention to me.
I hear when he stops talking, and let's move on to the next.
It's gonna be like that with you and your boyfriend and the dog. Right now, you talking to the dog. In a while, you're gonna be like, he ain't sleeping on the bed. He ain't sleeping on the bed.
Oh my God, that's great.
Well, we appreciate you joining us.
Thank you
very much for taking the time and energy, not only to join the television show, but the podcast. Hopefully this becomes a recurring theme, not only on Jalen and Jacoby, but on ESPN platforms.
Jalen,
thanks a lot.
I have one request.
Yes, ma'am. Anytime.
So as I said, I am a Fab Five diehard fan, like black socks, all of it. I played basketball. I wasn't as good as y'all. But here's my one request. Given that we're in COVID and it's a pandemic, and you know there's all this racial unrest out there, I just feel like the best thing the Fab Five could do is show people what unity looks like. I wanna see a Fab Five reunion, and I wanna be a part of that. That's what I want. That's my COVID wish. I don't have COVID, but we still are living in a pandemic.
And this is what leadership is, Jacoby, in our community. Kenny Smith came on the show and said the exact same thing. And I want you to know, for loving us and the Fab Five, Chris Webber and I in particular have been on a text, and the plan is for us to connect. The Fab Five will be reuniting. And for your support, I want to make sure, as Juwan Howard stands on the court and coaches the Michigan Wolverines, you and your boyfriend, when y'all get ready, get my courtside tickets to go and represent. So let me know when y'all can go to Ann Arbor and go represent the Maize and Blue. Done.
Great. Now, when is this conversation? Because I'm moderating a part of it. Kenny Smith don't get to hog it all.
Nope. You got to be you.
Done.
I'll definitely keep you posted.
I'm so excited about this. You just made my 2020. This year ain't been This is great.
Thank you.
This is amazing.
Thank you. I'll definitely keep you posted.
Guys.
Thank you. Appreciate
the
love.
Thank you so much for doing the show, Angela.
Thank you. So good.
I want to thank Angela Rye for coming by and offering her time and perspective. And remember, we will be back tomorrow. We didn't get a chance to get the voicemails today. We will tomorrow. So call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. You'll hear it on the pod tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose? We're not done. That wasn't Jalen.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.